Hey, it's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the podcast today. Just listen to it and find out what's on it. I mean,
why are we doing this open for the podcast?
Have to hold your hand the whole time?
We already did the show.
If you were so lazy that you couldn't get up early enough.
I mean, we were here.
Now I gotta walk you through the whole, here's what's on. But go just listen to it and find out.
It's magic.
You're going to hear about, the Democrat candidates for president won't tolerate any limitation on abortion.
Are you still going to tell them?
Okay, it's amazing. All right, well, I'm going to tell them a couple of things. I'm going to talk about a guy, a 94-year-old, parachuting into Normandy again. Because he did it in World War II, and I guess he doesn't understand it's not necessary anymore. You don't have to do it that way. You can just fly there on United or Delta. It's not that hard.
Listen to the show.
Right, just listen, and you'll hear it. Tell you how many Americans are in favor of socialism and think it's a good thing for the country. We'll get into that and so much more. You'll hear it all. Just listen to the podcast.
To the show.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Great to have you with us. Some interesting thoughts on abortion from some of these Democrat candidates. People keep asking them, so where do you draw the line? And they all say the same thing.
They won't.
There is no line.
Yeah, there is no line.
There's no line. There's no line to them. This is just unbelievable. It's amazing to watch. One of the latest, maybe the latest into the race, Steve Bullock from Montana. He's the governor of Montana. Why he thinks he has any chance at all at winning, I'll never know. But here he is talking about abortion. He's asked about restrictions.
What limits would you put on abortion?
None.
These are decisions that should not be made by legislators. I mean, we 1973, Roe versus Wade is still the law of the land, and as opposed to attacking it, we should actually be promoting it.
What?
And we should be both codifying the opportunities under Roe versus Wade. And at state level, I haven't allowed those any restrictions.
Okay, so it's a decision that shouldn't be made by legislators. Why should it be made by Supreme Court justices? Are they superhuman somehow?
Yes.
Are they
have superpowers?
Are they godlike?
Well, yeah, to them.
Yeah, well, only because they like that decision.
Yeah.
If it was a decision they didn't like, they would hate them with everything in them. That's a decision that shouldn't be made by legislators. Why? What happened to democracy being so important? I keep telling you it's not a democracy, but they keep telling us it is. And then when it comes to democracy, they want it decided by 9 people. That's not democracy.
Not even close.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What a pathetic answer. Which shouldn't be left to legislators. Who should it be left to? Amazing. Amazing. Well, we're going to find out from Pete Buttigieg who he thinks
it should be left to. The fine mayor of South Bend.
The fine mayor of South Bend. And if anybody knows about abortion and the limits that should be placed on abortion, it's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
You.
I think we all agree on that?
Yes.
Okay, here he is to let
us know. There's been a lot of focus this week about the states that have voted to restrict women's rights. But there's also been a movement in the other direction. New York State also this year passed a new law which significantly increases a woman's right to accept to an abortion. It used to be the exception was after, I think it's 24 weeks, to protect the life of a woman. Now the new law is to protect the health of a woman, which is a much more lenient standard. And I guess the question is, do you believe at any point in pregnancy, whether it's at 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 24 weeks or whenever, that there should be any limit on a woman's right to have an abortion?
You know, I think the dialogue has got so caught up on where you draw the line that we've gotten away from the fundamental question of who gets to draw the line.
Oh,
and I trust,
and
women
trust women
to draw the line when it's their own.
Thank you.
Okay. Such a pandering BS answer.
It sure is.
I trust women to draw the line. Well, you can't trust them because that's cost us 60 million babies since 1973. Trusting women has cost 60 million children since 1973. I think that's a stupid thing to do once we've seen the outcome of trusting women. I'm sorry, you can't allow the slaughter of babies anymore. We can't. And I think we understand that now.
I hope so.
And we're fighting back really hard. And we're getting a lot of pushback from, you know, the left, because obviously they don't think there should be any limit at any time, and that's up to 40 weeks.
Well, listen, we'd let them have free reign for a number of years, right? I mean, it's gone for many years where we thought,
right, wow, we just let them have this argument.
It'll be fine. It'll be okay.
And it's not fine. It's not okay.
Right. And now the pushback is happening, and they're like, whoa, wait. Yeah. What are you talking about?
They don't like it. They don't like to be challenged on this issue. They haven't been for a long time.
Right.
And they don't like it. Well, tough. There's too many lives at stake.
No kidding.
That's a separate body. That's not the woman's body we're talking about. That's a separate body inside there. With a separate DNA strand.
Yeah, but when?
Separate organs.
When is it a separate body? Like after birth, 2 or 3 years?
No.
2 or 3, like when you're 3 years old, 4 years old, something like that?
Pretty much right away as it starts developing. It's separate. Yeah. So.
No, but I'm saying, like, when is it a human?
Yeah, I know.
This is a separate human.
It's a human the whole time. It's the whole time. From the beginning.
The whole time, right after its birth?
It's never going to be a plant life. It's never going to be a vegetable matter. It's,
from what? From when?
It's not going to be an auto part. It's always going to be a human from the
hospital?
Very beginning.
From the very beginning at the hospital when you're born?
I'm talking about from conception. Huh. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way it works?
That's the way it works. Wow. As far as I'm concerned. As far as these Democrats are concerned, it's never a child. It's never a human.
Yeah, right.
Never. Literally. This is literally not one of the 23 candidates in the Democrat Party have any cutoff for abortion. There is no cutoff from any of them. That's staggering.
Yes, it is.
It used to be that they'd concede, all right, you know, 21 weeks.
Come on.
24 weeks, whatever. I mean, you can't have third trimester abortions. Right. Well, now...
Unless the health of the mother is in effect or something.
Right, I mean, and that's
they always threw that out there. Very rare.
Yes.
But they always threw that out there after the 21 weeks or the whatever amount of line that they're drawing. There's no line.
There's none.
There's no line. Zero.
That's how extreme. That's how radical they are on this. It's gotten worse.
But that's really what put us our back against the wall on this, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's time to fight back. No.
I think we really woke up when New York passed that bill, and then Virginia was going to pass that bill.
I think so too.
And other states considered the bill. So, you know, and you've got states fighting back all through the South, which is great. You have 8 states now have passed pretty tough new laws. 6 of them heartbeat bills, and one of them beyond heartbeat. So
good.
Yeah, I think it's great. Meanwhile, Georgia's governor, Brian Kemp, mocked the celebrities who were threatening to boycott the state because of their heartbeat bill. Of course, Alyssa Milano and Alec Baldwin and others have spoken out against the law, and they've signed letters of protest.
Oh, no.
To demand that the state abandon its heartbeat bill.
Was it like a strongly worded letter?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
They're strongly worded, and they're really upset. And they don't like Brian Kemp. And he said, I understand that some folks don't like this new law. I'm fine with that. We're elected to do what's right. And standing up for precious life is always the right thing to do.
Boom.
We value and protect innocent life. Even though that makes C-list celebrities squawk.
That's really good.
That is fantastic.
That's really good. Just poke them another time.
Yeah.
Just poke them one more time.
You know that hurt them more than anything. Calling them C-list.
Yes. Really good.
Is Alyssa Milano even C-list, though? She might be D or E by now.
Oh, no. She's
F-list.
No, she's
what was the last thing she was in?
I told you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Runway something or other.
Project Runway All Stars.
Project Runway All Stars. Yeah. I'm sure that
Plus,
was
she's
great.
Made a fortune on her clothing line. Right?
Has she?
Yeah, she's done a bunch with Major League Baseball and NBA and NFL with her clothing line. I mean, she's big contracts with them. Yeah, so she's doing okay.
Plus, her show Charmed is in syndication.
That's been in syndication
for a long time. Yeah, she probably makes good money from that.
I mean, she's okay. Yeah, I mean, she's for sure a C-lister. Sure.
At best.
Yeah, a C-lister for sure. I mean, right? I mean, she's not even getting the Hallmark gigs.
No, she's not getting the Hallmark Christmas movies even. I've never seen her in one. Of course, she probably wouldn't want to do a Christmas movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's too nice.
She's too evil for that. other entertainers who have had a fit over George's law are Mia Farrow, Ben Stiller, Don Cheadle, Sean Penn, Kerry Washington, and others.
Yeah, well, I mean, those good. Those are, you know, those are some big names in Hollywood, but they're, you know, they're the same. It's the same group.
It's the same. Yeah. The same loudmouths on every issue.
Yeah.
So that's great that the governor of Georgia not caving in to any of this. More in just a minute. Coming up.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn all week. He'll be back on, Tuesday, I guess, because Monday is Memorial Day. It just hit me yesterday it hit
me. That's right.
Memorial Day already? Isn't that amazing? It's incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, every summer, Mercury One, in collaboration with Wall Builders, opens its doors for emerging leaders for its leadership training program. This program is really impactful. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what former LTP students are saying. Like this, being able to come here and study and read what the founders wrote really opened my eyes to the truth and what's real about our country. That was from Jonathan, from Kathleen. I learned more in these 2 weeks than I think I have in the rest of my life. From an anonymous person who took the class, LTP is life-changing. It will literally change the way you think and the way you act, because when you're taught the truth, you can't help but be accountable for your choices.
Huh.
So you can apply to join this elite group of students for Mercury One's LTP now, taking applications. Spots are limited, and it's only offered once a year for young adults from 18 to 25. The first session is June 3rd, so, man, it's coming right up.
Yeah.
June 3rd through the 14th. Second session, July 15th through the 26th. Still some seats or some spots available. Go to mercuryone.org/LTP, or you can call 817-441-6044. mercuryone.org/LTP. Probably the easiest way. To do that.
And we've met so many of those kids that have been part of that leadership training program.
Great kids.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And they were also
love that program.
You read some of their words, but they were all so amazed at how much they learned and what they came across. Like, we didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to find out so many things they didn't know. It just a wealth of knowledge. I mean, David Barton takes them through all of history, pretty much all of American history.
Yeah. He knows a little.
Yeah, he does.
I mean,
yeah, he knows a couple of things.
Yeah, he's all right.
Knows a couple of things. Oh, by the way, how many Americans now are in favor of socialism? I guess you could say
two.
I mean, two Americans.
It shouldn't be more than two.
It shouldn't.
It should be Bernie Sanders and his wife.
Right, but it's quite a few more than that. It's 40% of Americans. In fact, it's 43%.
40%
believe that socialism would be a good thing for America. It's only 51% who say it wouldn't be a good thing. 51 to 43 now.
I would like to
this
say
this is
that
getting
that is
really
not
frightening.
Good.
Really frightening.
That is not good.
It is frightening. In 1942, it was 25% of Americans believed it would be a good thing. 25%. It's gone up 18 percentage points.
Yeah, I mean, 25% is too much.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it was 25%. But you had, you know, the fascists in Italy, and they got a lot of good press, just like they get now in the New York Times and the Washington Post. And anytime socialism crops its ugly head, New York Times and the Washington Post have great things to say about it. We'll do it better than they did this time. Yeah. In America, we'll do it right. You know, we can do socialism and communism right here because, you know, we know how to do it. For Democrats, this is amazing. 57% of Democrats view socialism favorably. 57%. I think a lot of this is because of the language that they use with the social equality nonsense, the social justice stuff, the social equality. They've made it, they've pinned socialism to equality.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know any different, you might just think, oh, okay, well, socialists want everybody to be equal.
Certainly makes sense. I mean, the joke is, you know, so they like socialism because of the social networks, but it's really just about equal justice.
I think the youth are pretty confused about what socialism is, and we've seen that. We've, you know, more on trivia, which, by the way, we still do on my show, on Pat Gray Unleashed, every fall. During football season, you can tune in for
a tremendous season. This
more on
season.
Trivia every Friday. We were 15-3 last season.
You're welcome.
If you would have placed bets based on more on trivia, you would have made a lot of money.
Right.
A lot. Of course, we don't recommend that. No. It's just for fun. But some people actually did.
We did find out that some people were using it against our wishes.
Against our wishes. And we did not recommend that. But I think with some of the millennials, that's what they equate it with. Social media, socializing. I think most adults understand what socialism is. I hope.
I hope so.
I hope.
But you get to these numbers and they're,
it's scary.
No.
It's really scary. I mean, then you've got a bunch of people agreeing with AOC and Bernie Sanders.
Oh, my gosh.
And you see why he's such a star among Democrats. Democrats are pretty favorable towards socialism. Frightening.
It sure is.
Also, this is an interesting survey. A survey was taken that found that more than half of Americans believe Arabic numerals should not be taught in American schools.
Right.
Right. I want that Arab stuff over here.
Right.
You keep that in your Saudi Arabia and your Qatar.
You teach that over there.
Here are Arabic numbers, by the way. Arabic numerals.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's funny, but we're talking about Arabic numbers that we don't learn in school.
As opposed to Roman numerals, the Arabic numerals replaced Roman numerals with the Western civilization some time ago, and we've used them ever since. So they tricked about half of Americans.
It's so funny.
That's not nice to do.
No, it is not. It's not nice to do at all.
72% of Republicans did not want Arabic numerals to be in our curriculum. 40% of Democrats. Not knowing exactly what Arabic numerals were. So, obviously more cannon fodder for MSNBC. But here's some for us. After 130 years, the so-called prototype kilogram, which so many other nations base their measurements upon, and we're always told we're ridiculous because we don't use that system. And they tried to switch us in the 70s, if you remember correctly.
I said, no, thank you. They tried to ram that hard down our
throats. They did. And you know why it didn't work? Because there's no way to convert it. You can't tell what it is. I mean, a kilometer, that could be 17 inches or 900 miles. There's no way to know. You don't know. And we rejected that.
We like to know.
We like to know. Thank you.
We like to know.
If somebody weighs 40 kilograms, I don't know how much that is. Is that 4 ounces or is it 7,000 pounds? I don't know. That's dangerous if I don't know. So we rejected it. Anyway, the new definition of the kilogram is apparently based on fundamental laws of physics, and it was adopted at an international conference held last November in Versailles, France.
Oh, good.
It went into effect Monday. Instead of being based on a shiny hunk of metal stored in a vault in France on the outskirts of Paris, the kilogram is now based on the Planck constant.
Okay? The what?
The Planck constant.
And that's better than a shiny piece of metal in a drawer outside of Paris.
Yeah, because it's a tiny, unvarying number that plays a key role in quantum physics.
Duh.
So the metric system is so bad they had to change it.
To the Planck.
So I've been proven right again. I told you there was no way to tell. And it turned out I was right.
They finally admitted it.
Yes.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray, in for Glenn Beck, and you can hear my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, weekday mornings, right before Glenn here on the Blaze radio and television. And don't forget to sign up. You can go to theblaze.com/TV. And sign up, get a subscription, and then you can watch us as well as listen to us. Also,
you talk about exciting.
It is exciting.
You talk about exciting.
It is exciting. Can you imagine actually seeing Jeffy? That's like a dream come true.
Man, I hear that so.
Ones of people.
Well, those ones.
Literally
are.
Ones of people.
And I don't know that they actually exist, to be honest with you. Which is why Chewing the Fat is just a audio podcast right now.
Right now.
Right now it is.
But plans are in place.
People are demanding it.
Oh, the
ones are demanding it.
I believe clamoring is the word. There's like an uproar and a clamor about it.
I mean, you can't stop it.
No, you can't.
I mean, even if you wanted to.
And who wants to? I don't want to.
I don't.
You don't want to stop that momentum, do you?
No.
We are in good hands with our next generation, as I think everybody understands by this point. Man, they've got some great ideas.
They do.
41% of college students, 41% believe hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment.
Wow. What?
You know, this is our fault, though. This is our generation's fault, because they've been protected every step of the way. We've babied them. We've coddled them. We took red marks off of their homework assignments and test papers because it was too intense for them. So you can't mark up their paper in red.
Right.
We artificially raised their grades. We made it impossible for them to get Fs. We don't want any failure at all. That was too traumatic. We created safe spaces for them where they wouldn't have to hear anything they disagreed with or that would upset them in any way. We don't want you offended. We don't want you upset. We don't want you uncomfortable. We set up crying closets. University of Utah set up crying closets. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
We didn't keep score at their games so that there were no losers and nobody would feel badly when they walked off the playing field. We gave them participation trophies. Just for showing up. You guys are wonderful. You're so good. We evenly distributed game balls. You could strike out 9 times in a game, and you'd still get a game ball. I mean, of course they don't think hate speech is protected. Of course. They don't believe that anything in life should challenge their tender sensibilities. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I mean, we see that evidence of that every day.
Every stinking day.
Every day. You had your feelings hurt. You don't like what someone said. Tough.
Yeah. I mean, if we all talk like Barney the dinosaur, as they watched growing up, this generation, if all we said was, I love you, you love me, we wouldn't have to protect any speech.
No, there wouldn't be none to protect.
Nobody would object to it. But when things irritate you, when you disagree with them, when things are harsh, that's the only speech you need to protect. I don't. How do you not understand that?
I don't know how you not how you don't understand that. I mean, the days of sticks and stones and
may
words
break
can
my
never
bones.
Hurt, words
oh.
can never hurt me. Those are long gone.
And that's why you never hear that.
I mean, long
saying
gone.
Anymore. You don't hear it. Nobody says it because it's just not true. It's sticks and stones can break my bones, but worse. Names are a lot worse for me. That's what it is
that's,
now.
That's the new saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names. Oh, that's a lot worse
I mean,
for me.
Evidence yesterday of the guy that is arrested for
beating for the transgendered person.
Beating the heck out of someone. I mean, assaulting this human being.
Yeah, I beat her.
I didn't call her any names.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That was unbelievable.
So.
And he's saying it because he believes it.
Yeah.
He believes I'm not going to get in trouble for calling her a name.
So it's just it's no wonder we've got this situation because we essentially created the situation by not expecting anything of them, by protecting them from absolutely every negative situation in life. And you can't do that. You grow from the negative situations.
I was trying to remember when it, you know how that actually came to be. You know, like I. Because my oldest son lived through some of this, and I remember thinking, no, you don't. Everybody doesn't need to get a trophy. Everybody doesn't need. No, you won. You scored more points than the other team. You won. That's the way it is. And then it just seems like I don't think we believed it would hurt. You know, it was just like, yeah, whatever. It was almost like the abortion thing. It was just like, just whatever.
It's been going on for a while.
I know.
And it went on even in Texas. I remember when. My youngest son was playing his, I don't know, 11 or 12 year old season. I think he was 11 at the time and he was on a terrible team.
Sure.
And
it happens.
They went 0-16 and I'm sitting there in stands. And the team mom is going to all the various parents collecting money. I'm thinking, what do I own?
We have a little after season party.
What is this about? Yeah. That's what I thought it was. Maybe a party of some kind afterwards. And again, the team is 0-13 at this point.
And she comes, been a long season.
She comes up
Let's
to me. It's
it
been
up.
A long season.
Let's wrap
it's
it
been
up.
Tough. Yeah. So she comes up to me and says, so we're collecting $10 for the team trophies. I'm like, the team trophy? What? You don't think? They're 0-13.
Well, they still play good this season.
No.
They still play good this season.
No, they didn't. No, they really didn't. I mean, I know they tried, but they did not succeed.
And I don't want to pay for a big, giant trophy with the giant letter L on it.
Yeah. And, of course, there wouldn't be a giant letter L.
No.
They'd be presented as champions for participating.
All right.
And she's like, oh, you don't think that? No,
no,
I don't think. I'm certainly not ponying up money for an 0-16 season. Thank you though for the opportunity.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
So even that was when we were in Houston. Even in Houston, Texas, you had that mindset. So what chance do they have? Seriously, what chance do the kids have? It is hard. It's hard. We should have let them experience things because now they're getting out into the world and. Trying to become productive citizens, and it's just going to be really hard for them to be that.
Yeah,
because they've got too many things that are going to come at them.
Did you
that
say
upset
something
them.
Harsh against me?
Yeah, right. Did you just make me uncomfortable? I shouldn't be made to feel uncomfortable. That's against the Constitution. I think they really believe it is
against
unconstitutional.
The Constitution.
It's unconstitutional to make anybody feel uncomfortable. So
okay,
good luck.
Okay.
And we're going to turn the country over to them? Yikes.
I know. It's the same group, you know, in that.
A real disservice to
in
them.
In that Gallup poll that talked about socialism.
Yeah.
It also talks about how the respondents favored government control in environmental protection and online privacy protection of these. That's, I mean, that's they want they're okay with, they don't want people saying bad things about them, but they want the government to protect them online and make sure that the fish
and they'll
fresh.
They'll probably get that too.
Yeah, they will.
They'll get that because Mark Zuckerberg is for intervention from the government.
Yeah.
Why would you want that?
Yeah. So he could,
control my company.
Yeah, please.
What? Why?
Really?
Why would you be for that? It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing.
The only reason that I can see of him being for that isn't for our safety.
Oh, not at all.
It is not for our safety, my friends.
He's partnering with the government.
You're darn right he is. Let me in.
Kind of a chilling little beginning of things we've seen on sci-fi movies where corporations
yes.
are the government.
Let me in. Yes, you're right, man.
Scary.
We are bad. I should be.
Uh-huh.
I need to be in with you guys.
That's what he's pushing. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is the news and why it matters. If you like this show, you're going to love the news and why it matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The news and why it matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.